Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the midst of a financial crisis this year, New York City Opera, you're hearing them performing the Philip Glass opera Satyagraha in the background, moved out of its home at Lincoln Center and slashed its current season to just 4 productions. Now, this particular excerpt from the Philip Glass opera is called Confrontation, and that is what has happened between the so-called People's Opera and its people. Negotiations broke down last week, and joining me now from the New York Times is arts reporter Dan Wakin to bring us up to speed. Dan, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John. How are you?
Okay, so we heard on Thursday that negotiations had broken down between the company, the New York City Opera, and its unionized singers and musicians. What's the status? What kind of negotiations were they engaged in?
Well, they were trying to figure out a new contract, which had expired at the end of the season, and the talks were extended a month. City Opera, the management, said basically that the deadline was going to be midnight last Wednesday into Thursday, both sides said that the other walked out or refused to continue. So it's a very contentious situation, but there is a ray of light. It appears that the opera management has decided to look into getting a federal mediator involved. And they've actually formally approached the mediation service and are looking into that. The unions, for their part, say they'd be open to that. They're discussing it.
Uh-huh.
We're waiting to hear whether someone will be appointed.
So is this kind of the two sides basically saying we can't deal with each other directly? We need someone from the outside to come in and kind of act as therapist for us?
Well, I don't know if they would put it that way. I mean, I think
I'm asking you if you would put it that way.
I think one could draw that conclusion. I think part of it also is a calculation of you know, showing as much good faith as you can.
Yeah.
Part of it may be a genuine desire to you know, achieve. I mean, I think both sides want to achieve some kind of agreement. There's no question about it.
Right.
But the question is whether having a mediator can bring two sides so far apart together.
Well, that's really what I'm asking you, is whether they have just gotten so sick of the sight of each other that any mediated solution will cause one party or the other to get up and walk out.
Well, you know, this is not an unusual thing to happen in labor negotiations. I mean, there's a sort of certain process that's followed, and when you reach a certain point, which is technically called an impasse, this is a frequent step that's taken. Sometimes mediation begins before a breakdown
mm-hmm.
of talks.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an indication that both sides were looking into this before things broke down completely. And for whatever reasons, it just didn't work out.
All right. Well, that is a ray of hope, as you say. Mm-hmm. Dan Wakin of the New York Times with us, cultural reporter, who's been reporting on the travails of New York City Opera. Now, the orchestra, Dan, had offered to play for free. And it seems like the kind of thing that City Opera in financial straits would have immediately said, wow, sure, great. But they didn't. Why?
Well, it wasn't quite that simple. They offered to play performances for free, but not rehearse for free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so, you know, the savings is not really that great. There were also other issues. Both sides had not agreed, despite the offer to play for the orchestra to play for free, on health benefits and work rules, and those are issues that City Opera said would have been much too costly if the proposals by the unions were implemented. So it was something of a gesture that maybe did not have the substance that it first appeared to have.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of what City Opera is facing, they've cut their season from what it used to be something like 13 productions or 14 down to 4.
Right.
And so what City Opera wants to do is pay the singers and the musicians per project.
Right. And more specifically, per service, which is the term of art used in the industry. And a service is either a rehearsal or a performance.
Okay.
So it's essentially an hourly wage. They want to pay them by the hour that they actually work. And the chorus and the orchestra are sticking with the idea that they should be paid a weekly salary. And, you know, it sounds almost like a question of semantics, but it's really more than that, because the whole tradition of orchestras and opera companies in this country is based on weekly pay.
Mm-hmm.
And if somehow if City Opera should increase the number of weeks from now, I guess it would be roughly 8, including rehearsals, to say 12, 16, 20, if the orchestra has a contract based on weeks, it's easy to expand that.
Right.
If they have a contract based on services, it's much harder. Also, the one of the stumbling blocks is the issue of exclusivity. This is according to the union. The unions say that, particularly the orchestra union, says that City Opera refuses to say the orchestra will be the exclusive performer for performances. And to them, that's a hint that maybe the City Opera will turn to other groups
right.
to provide the music.
So a final question, Dan.
Sure.
How likely do you think a strike is here?
It's a losing game to predict strikes or not. It's never really a good idea. I think it's certainly more likely than it was. I think it's I would say maybe somewhat likely, but you never know what's going to happen. With a mediator involved, that could change things. There's nothing really needs to happen until early January when rehearsals start.
Right. All right. Well, the New York City Opera, you know, obviously with the move and the slash of its current season to just 4 productions, facing numerous challenges, and among them the breakdown of negotiations with its unionized singers and musicians. And Dan Wakin's been following the story for the New York Times and updating us today on Soundcheck. Dan, good speaking with you again.
Thanks so much, John. Likewise.
This is Soundcheck, and Soundcheck listeners, on our program yesterday about music that gives you chills and goosebumps, well, it appears to have gone straight to the pleasure center of many of our listeners' brains. Visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/WNYC Soundcheck to see a Spotify playlist of songs that you listeners said give you goosebumps. Martha from Rockland County's suggestion, this Barbra Streisand recording of Funny Girl.
In stitches, doubled in half.